Hello there. This is Sheila Lammers with the Vermilion County News, dated Wednesday, October 18th, 2017. We'll begin today's reading with an article from the Commercial News called Council OKs Storage Units, Planet Fitness. Developer Jenny Kirby said the interior storage and mini warehouses to be located at the former Kmart site along North Vermilion Street will be a very nice, clean operation. It's a Class A facility, Kirby said about the facility proposed here and another one like it already open in Lafayette, Indiana. Kirby also said Planet Fitness is planned to open at the site with the Danville City Council's approval Tuesday night of the special use permit for the development by McCormick Family Investments, LLC. Ward 7 Alderman Lloyd Randall voted against the special use permit for the planned development at 2721 North Vermilion Street. Randall is concerned about the storage facility not being suitable for the location. "This has been a retail hub for our community," Randall said. "I think this is a prime retail location." He said it could be a good retail development site again, and this usage doesn't seem to fit there. Randall said he also talked to 13 local storage unit facilities, and none are at capacity. "This would duplicate services already in the community," he said. Kirby said the storage units they will provide are of interest to people such as with small offices, which need more space and in-transit persons. "This is a storage experience," she said. "There will be a full-time staff person, one or two. The facility also will be well-lit and have security. We're not just your typical storage operation." Kirby added half of the roof needs replaced on the building, with a lot of water damage inside, and exterior masonry and parking lot work of painting and resealing also is needed. In addition, there will be truck rentals on site. An idea that had been brought up included possible recreational vehicle parking, but Kirby said that usage would need another special use permit. Mayor Scott Eisenhower said this is the first development group that has come forward with plans. The city will see property and sales tax revenue with the operations. Local officials have gotten phone calls about the site, but Eisenhower said who knows about the seriousness of any other retail or commercial interest. Ward 6 Alderman Steve Nichols said looking at the Village Mall with all its vacancies, "If not this, then what?" "There will be some jobs created and revenue to the city," he said. Some aldermen said the building could remain an eyesore. "The property looks like crap now," Nichols said. Kirby said Planet Fitness also would be a good addition to the city. "I'm tired of seeing empty buildings and empty houses," Ward 1 Alderwoman Brenda Brown said. She said she sees the usage as an improvement. Danville Planning and Urban Services Manager Chris Milliken said there will be less traffic and impact on the neighbors, in his opinion. "This commercial usage also fits in with the city's comprehensive land use plan," he said. Our next article, also from the Commercial News, is called Pancake Day is Danville's Biggest Picnic. Breakfast will be served all Thursday long, thanks to the Danville Kiwanis Club. The group will host its annual Pancake and Sausage Day, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday, at Danville's David S. Palmer Arena. The event usually feeds around 4,000 people and collects between $10,000 and $12,000, according to longtime Kiwanis member Wes Buritz. "It all stays in the community and involves mostly youth charities," Buritz said. "That's the Kiwanis theme." Kiwanis is an international organization that hosts nearly 150,000 service projects each year, according to their website. It aims to meet the needs of specific communities and places a special emphasis on children. Local high school sports teams, as well as the professional hockey team Danville Dashers, will volunteer by serving food throughout the day. This is the organization's 67th year to host Pancake Day, and Buritz has been involved for 52 of those years. "When you come, it's like Danville's biggest picnic," he said. "You see people you haven't talked to in a while and have the chance to sit down and chat." This all-you-can-eat meal is sponsored by Perry Chain's Insurance and Financial Services, Quaker Appraisal Company of Danville, Iroquois Federal, and Clifton Larson Allen Wealth Advisory. Proceeds from Thursday's event will go to the Boys and Girls Club, Big Brothers Big Sisters YMCA, District 118 Foundation, College Scholarships, and many others. Tickets are $7 at the door and $6.25 pre-sale. Also from the commercial news, we have some community briefs. First, flu shots available. United Way of Danville Area Incorporated will provide free flu shots 4 to 7 p.m. today during St. James Church's food pantry to residents who are without health insurance coverage or are unable to afford one. Walgreens will be administering no-cost flu shots for all those who qualify for a flu shot voucher. The vouchers are available on a first-come, first-served basis while supplies last and are provided by Walgreens as part of a nationwide program that helps to make flu shots available to those without health insurance coverage or who are unable to afford a flu shot. Those who want a shot but are not in need of food will be able to access the church to avoid standing in the pantry line. Next, GOP women will meet Thursday. Vermilion County Republican women will meet for a wine and cheese reception from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Thursday at Old National Bank at 2 West Main Street. State Senator Jason Barrickman will speak. Supper to be served Saturday. At Union Corner United Methodist Church at 14158 Perrysville Road, there will be an annual chili and vegetable soup supper and bazaar from 4 to 7 p.m. on Saturday. A free will offering will be collected. In Catlin, the Catlin American Legion will serve cheeseburgers from 5 to 8 p.m. today, and the band Pure Country will perform. Everyone is welcome. In Oakwood, members of the Village Board will meet at 6:30 p.m. Thursday in the Village Hall. Our next article is called Quilters Make Placemats for Diners. Clients with Chris Healthy Aging's Meals on Wheels program will get an extra treat this week, a colorful placemat. Members of the Vermilion Valley Quilters created more than 225 placemats as part of a community outreach program. They presented three boxes to Laura Flessner, nutrition coordinator at Chris, who said they will be distributed Friday to clients. Flessner was pleased with the gift, remarking how colorful and creative they were. "I think it's just wonderful," she said. "A lot of people don't have many visitors during the week, so the placemat will show them that people are thinking of them and doing things to help them feel special. Also, when a client sees the placemat in his home, he'll think about Chris and what a wonderful program Meals on Wheels is," Flessner said, "and spread the word to others." The placemats were divided into designs that might appeal more to women and those that appeal to men, as well as a box of designs for either gender. "They've had fun creating, Jody Leggett, Community Outreach with Vermilion Valley Quilters, said of the 45 members. The placemats are made of colorful and unique patterns selected by individual quilters from their stash of fabrics. Club President Rose Walker said there are a lot of people who are shut-ins. "This is something that can help brighten their day," she said. "This is a way to say we care." The club does other projects as well. The Creative Covers group makes quilts for veterans, blankets for Fair Hope Ministry, and baby blankets for the Women's Care Clinic and Women's Shelter. They enjoy sharing their skills with others in the Danville community, Leggett said. The placemat project started about a year ago. "We're here for the community," Walker said. "If they come to us, we like to help." At a meeting Tuesday, the group heard a presentation from Jan Heck and Raquel Hamm, both from the Springfield area, who are involved with Sadie's Dream for a Cure. The two are looking for people to sew tote bags, which will be filled with toys and distributed to children fighting cancer. A downloadable pattern is on the website, or a person or group can request a kit with the pattern, fabric, and interfacing. The finished totes then are filled with games, stuffed animals, books, and other items, no food, to entertain sick children from babies up to age 18 who are spending time in a hospital. Scout groups and 4-H clubs from the Champaign area have helped with this program, Heck said. Heck and Hamm have been involved for a couple of years and have made about 400 totes. In August, they delivered 80 filled totes to two hospitals in Indianapolis. People may drop off donations of toys, fabric, or money to Threads of Time in Danville. Everything has to be new because the items are going to sick children. The Vermilion Valley Quilters were helping with the totes Tuesday, and another workday for anyone wanting to help is set for today at Threads of Time. You can learn more at the Sadie's Dream for a Cure website, which is www.sadies dreamforacure.org. In today's editorial section of the commercial news, we have a piece entitled "Man's Death Met by Silence." Have we become so calloused, so used to such news, that a man found gunned down on a city street, who later dies as doctors try to save him, causes barely a ripple through the community? Gerald Taylor, 25, of Chicago, died from gunshot wounds he suffered in the early hours of Saturday morning. Police found him lying in Campbell Lane on the city's east side. Taylor died from his wounds a few hours later at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana, according to the Champaign County Coroner. News of his death sparked a few sympathetic messages on social media, but that's about it. No official speaking out against the incident. No community groups condemning violence in our neighborhoods. No ministerial groups calling for peace. Have we come to the point where the loss of a life prompts little more than a shrug of our collective shoulders? Part of the problem comes from a lack of cooperation among area residents. Their silence, both in public and in confidential discussions with the police officers investigating the death, allows these kinds of tragic incidents to continue without much notice from those of us who are not directly involved. It takes courage to speak up. It takes courage to help police find those responsible. It takes courage to want to eliminate the threat of such violence from all neighborhoods, whether we live in them or they are across town. But until we find that courage, we can expect more young lives to be lost to gunfire. And that's just sad. Our next article is from the News Gazette and is called "Kickapoo Rail Trail: Community Won't Let Second Half Languish." With more than $2 million in government funding for the Kickapoo Rail Trail still hung up due to Illinois' budget problems, trail proponents on the Vermilion County side are reviving a fundraising committee to get matching dollars for other grants that could finally launch construction on their end of the recreational path. "We just want to get a shovel in the ground," said Julie Colby of Danville, a bicyclist, master naturalist, and outdoor enthusiast who's co-chairing with Bob Arnholt of Danville a newly revived committee that's met twice now. Nearly 5 years ago, when Governor Pat Quinn announced a $2.1 million grant to the Vermilion County Conservation District for the Kickapoo Rail Trail, it appeared that the groundbreaking along the 24.5-mile multi-use recreational path planned on an old CSX rail line between Urbana and Kickapoo State Park was going to be near Kickapoo and a 100-year-old trestle over the middle fork of the Vermilion River. The federal dollars were going to come through the state's Illinois Transportation Enhancement Program, and matching dollars were to come from the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. The funding would have paid for trail construction from Kickapoo to Oakwood, but the release of that money stalled when the state's budget process stalled. As Vermilion waited, fundraising and grant writing progressed in Champaign County. And earlier this year, the first section of trail from Urbana to St. Joseph was completed and opened in August. Vermilion County organizers have been working diligently and creatively on a way to start construction on at least one segment of the roughly 11 miles of path between Kickapoo State Park and the Champaign-Vermilion County line. Vermilion County Conservation District Director Ken Consis said the Conservation District's foundation is holding the private donations received so far for the Vermilion side of the trail. He said they nearly had enough to cover the match for the original $2.1 million and were recently planning to secure that federal funding with private matching dollars and start construction on a section of the Vermilion half in June of next year. But 2 weeks ago, Consis said he got a phone call from IDOT informing him that the environmental surveys done nearly 5 years ago in preparation for the $2.1 million in funding are now approaching their expiration date and must be done again. Consis said those are expensive, and he's now waiting on an estimate for surveys from a local engineering firm. But regardless of the final price, that's a setback to their June construction plans. He said they're exploring whether the environmental survey expiration date can be waived. "We have no idea what this survey is going to cost," he said. In the meantime, the local fundraising committee is ramping up efforts to seek more private donations for matching funds, either for new grants or the original $1.2 million. Logan Kronk, Community Development Director for Vermilion Advantage and a member of the revived Vermilion County Committee, said it's also important to demonstrate to government agencies that they are continuing to make progress, rather than just waiting for funds to be released. In order for the state matching funds to not get swept, we need to show we are still working on the trail, said Kronk, who explained that there are also other grants they can apply for to get construction started while continuing to wait for the $2.1 million. But other grants also require a local match, so more fundraising right now is key. Colby said they are working on getting information out in Vermilion County about how to donate to the project. She said donors giving at certain levels will be recognized in various ways, like a bench along the trail. And although it's only met twice, the newly revived Vermilion County Committee is excited about its new mission because members are looking forward to the trail. Colby worked years ago on a proposal for a trail between Danville and Paris along an old rail line that was eventually reactivated. She said she's waited decades for a rail trail in East Central Illinois. I'm jazzed, she said. And Kronk, who's into fitness, said he and his friends are very excited about the possibilities, and seeing the trail segment open between Urbana and St. Joseph has been exciting. Well, we're ready to have fun on our side, he said, referring to the section between the county line and Kickapoo. We think we have a lot of things to show along this trail, a lot of beautiful nature and history that nobody has thought about. We are really going to open people's eyes when this thing really does open. Accompanying this article is a piece called Kickapoo Rail Trail Donation Levels. A. Any size donation will receive recognition on website. B. $1,000, donor recognition at the trail terminus in each county. C. $5,000, which it would receive A and B plus a recognition plaque. D. $10,000, A, B, and C plus a bench with donation placard. 6 opportunities for this level of recognition remain in Champaign County, and 10 opportunities remain in Vermilion County. E, $25,000. Those donors would receive A, B, and C plus trail node naming. Includes bench, interpretive sign with posted name. All nodes are spoken for in Champaign County, and 2 opportunities remain in Vermilion County. F, $50,000. At this level, donors receive A, B, and C plus signage, mile marker, to reflect sponsorship of a section of trail. Limit 20. 8 opportunities remain in Champaign County and 10 opportunities remain in Vermilion County. G, $125,000. Those donors receive A, B, and C plus small bridge naming. Limit 2. Bridges over Salt Fork and Stony Creek. The Stony Creek Bridge is still available. Exact number and locations of nodes, benches, and signs will be determined through the final master planning process. It's time now to read our area obituaries, and we'll begin with those listed in the News Gazette. Dolores Fraddick, 79, of Georgetown, died at 2:20 a.m. Friday, October 13th at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Friday at St. Isaac Jogue Church, 109 West 7th Street in Georgetown. Father Diaz Bayumuhangi and Pastor James Blue will officiate. Burial will be in Georgetown Cemetery in Georgetown. Sunset's Hofton Leisure Funeral Home at 200 East West Street in Georgetown is in charge of arrangements. Aud H., known as Mick McMillan III, 75, of Danville, died at 3:32 p.m. Monday, October 16th, at Presence Covenant Medical Center in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Robeson Chapel at 103 Douglas Street in Catlin. Nellie Tintori, 79, of Georgetown, died at 11:45 p.m. Tuesday, October 10th, at Presence United Samaritans Medical Center in Danville. Graveside service will be at 11 a.m. Thursday at Georgetown Cemetery in Georgetown. Robeson Chapel at 103 Douglas Street in Catlin is in charge of arrangements. We'll continue reading obituaries from the Commercial News. James Marcus Hurley, 4 months old, left his heartbroken family to join his Heavenly Father on Monday, October 16th at Presence United Samaritans Medical Center in Danville. His services will be at 9:30 a.m. Saturday, October 21st at Holy Cross Catholic Church at 405 West Clark Street in Champaign, Illinois. Burial will be at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation will take place from 5 to 8 p.m. Friday, October 20th at Sunset Funeral Home at 710 North Neal Street in Champaign. Anthony Azell, known as T. Shaw Sr., 54, of Lafayette, Indiana, formerly of Danville, transitioned from his life at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, Tuesday, October 10th, at his residence. A homegoing celebration will commence at noon, Thursday, October 19th, at New Life Church of Faith at 1419 North Bowman in Danville. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. until the time of service. Minister Carl Shaw will be eulogist. Interment will take place at Sandhill Memorial Park. A public viewing will be this afternoon from 1 to 5 p.m. at Leek & Sons Funeral Home. Clyde Theodore Darnell, 83, of Danville, transitioned from this life at 9 a.m. Monday, October 9th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of life will commence at noon Friday, October 20th at Life Church at 2105 North Bowman Avenue in Danville. Visitation will begin at 11 a.m. until the start of the service. A public viewing will be from 1 to 5 p.m. Thursday, October 19th at Leek & Sons Funeral Home at 304 East William Street in Danville. Officiating will be Pastor Doug Knapp. Interment will take place at Danville National Cemetery. Virginia Joanne Fisher, 66, of Danville, passed away October 13th at Presence United Samaritans Medical Center in Danville. A celebration of Joanne's life will be held this afternoon at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion, Danville, at 2 p.m., with Pastor James Blue officiating. Visitation will be held from 1 to 2 p.m. today, prior to the service. Entombment will be at Sunset Memorial Park. In lieu of flowers, the family asks you to donate to Penny Boren, care of Law Hoff Employee Credit Union. Robert R. Williams, 91, of Georgetown, Illinois, passed away at 12:30 a.m. October 12th at Pleasant Meadows Senior Living in Chrisman. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to noon Friday, October 20th at Sunset's Hofton Leisure Funeral Home at 200 East West Street in Georgetown, with funeral service to follow at noon. Burial will be at Forest Park Cemetery in Georgetown. If you wish, memorial donations may be given in his name to the American Legion Dorn Blazer Post 203 Honor Guard. Next up is our weekly high school confidential reports. From BHRA, we have student Marissa Oxendine, who submitted this. At Friday's Fall Sports Senior Night, seniors who participated in football, soccer, volleyball, golf, cross country, devilettes, and marching band were announced with their parents on the field before the football game against Milford. From Blue Ridge High School, student Caitlin Stevens wrote, students celebrated homecoming week with dress-up days, float building, and games. Seniors had plenty to celebrate, winning Spirit Week as well as Best Float. From Danville High School, student Barbara Westerfield submitted this. Capping off a short week, Columbus Day on Monday, parent-teacher conferences on Friday, Lauren Ellis and Aaron Haupt placed first and second in singles at tennis sectionals to make state. From Hoopston area, student Daniel Bass and student Ariel Reeves submitted, on Thursday, sophomores attended Manufacturing Day at the Danville Area Community College, where they heard from speakers and learned aspects of the manufacturing field. Trey Humes won the Vermilion Valley Conference cross-country meet for the second year in a row. From Salt Fork High School, student Kate Bennett wrote, Preston Fisher and Bailey Fathauer were crowned homecoming king and queen on Saturday. They were joined by senior court members Carson Foster, Caleb McNew, Rachel Anderson, Evan Baird, Carly Weaver, Noah Hepburn, Cameron Hinkle, and Cade Bennett. Junior attendants Shay Richards and Max Brannigan. Sophomore attendants Anuka Marazuska and Josh Weller. Freshman attendants Carson Todd and Brady Tevabaugh. Prince and Princess Braden Kunkel and Journey Wantland. And retiring 2016 King and Queen Larry Hubbard Jr. and Amanda Darr. From Georgetown Ridge Farm High School, student Willow Ray wrote, "To promote positive thinking during the PSAT, teacher Marva Fitzwater Moore puts up a banner that allows students and staff to write whatever makes them feel extraordinary." From Chrisman High School, members of the boys' basketball team took time to babysit a group of kids at the high school on October 13th. The event featured pizza and games like dodgeball, kickball, and frisbee. Now we'll turn to Vermilion County First for an additional item called Area Declared Safe After Pipeline Accident. A construction crew accidentally cut through a natural gas pipeline near Danville's Public Safety Building late yesterday morning, sending natural gas spilling into the neighborhood. But Danville Public Safety Director Larry Thomason says the leak has been capped by a crew from Ameren Illinois Power Company, and some workers in the area who were evacuated from nearby businesses were allowed to return to work. Director Thomason says workers were asked to leave the nearby MSI building and a bank because the wind was blowing the fumes toward those buildings, but the area has since been declared safe for the employees. The construction crew was working on digging out part of South Street where some improvements are being made. Director Thomason says Walnut Street, south of Main, in the area of the David S. Palmer Arena, east to the east entrance to the public safety building, would remain closed until Ameren crews finished some emergency repairs on the pipeline. Here we also have one more local event announcement. The Union Corner United Methodist Church, located at 14158 Perrysville Road in Danville, will be serving a chili and vegetable soup supper, along with hot dogs, barbecue, desserts, and drinks, on October 21st from 4 until 7 p.m. Free will offering will be accepted. We'll conclude with an article from the Commercial News about the Danville High School volleyball team called Winning Streak. That's a success can breed more success. That's been the case for the Danville Vikings volleyball team this past week. On Saturday afternoon, Danville snapped a 9-match losing streak with a pair of 3-set victories over Decatur MacArthur and Warrensburg Latham. The Vikings carried that momentum over into Tuesday's Big 12 conference finale at home against Peoria High, and Danville ended its 6-match conference losing streak with a 25-10, 25-12 win over the Lions. "We want to get some momentum going heading into regionals," said Danville coach Chelsea Robinson, whose team is on a season-best 3-match winning streak. "We had a good run this past weekend, and we want to keep it going this week heading into Monday's regional opener against Champaign Centennial." Danville, whose record is 7-23 overall, 2-8 in the Big 12, played a very steady and effective style on Tuesday night. The Vikings had 20 kills to just 6 for the Lions, and Danville also recorded 12 service aces in the 2-set victory. This has been Sheila Lammers with the Vermilion County News, dated Wednesday, October 18th, 2017. I hope you enjoy this beautiful day, and I look forward to reading with you again next week.